I'm going to get right to our text that is key for our sermon this morning. I invite your attention to Luke chapter 13. We're going to start looking this morning at verse 22 through verse 24. Very small, short segment of scriptures, but it has a message that is of great importance to all of mankind. According to some preachers, and even to some in the Lord's kingdom, the way that some talk, very few will actually be lost come judgment day. If you were to listen to what some people had to say now, there are people who just about will say everybody and anybody, regardless of what they've done, that they're going to heaven. In verse 22 beginning, the Bible has recorded for us in Luke 13, and he went through the cities, and again, the he here is Jesus. And he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. And I want you to notice with me in verse 23, a very important question asked to Jesus himself while he was on this earth. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? Now, a lot of times we use Matthew 7, 13 and 14, where we talk about the two different ways that man can traverse. The broad, the wide, the straight, the narrow, the many, the few. And while that is fine, that was taught in the Sermon on the Mount, this was actually asked to our Lord directly and specifically. Are there few that be saved? Well, instead of giving what some preachers might say today or what other individuals might want today, let us simply read what our Lord answered. And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Notice that again. Many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Do you realize with me, friends, what he's saying there? There are going to be a whole lot of people whose desire is to go to heaven who aren't going to get there. That's the idea he says here about the many seek to find it. They're looking for it. If you're seeking for something, that's what you're doing. You're looking for it. And how many people do we know today that if we were to really discuss with them spiritual things, they would want to go to heaven? I know folks that way. I'm sure you do too, who want to go. But you know they're not doing what the Lord tells them to do. You know they're not living in accordance to His Word. And just as Jesus said, it takes effort to enter into the straight gate. He said, strive to enter in. It takes a whole lot of effort. Brethren, if anybody has tried to tell you that living a Christian life is the easiest of lives, they have lied to you. It's the most rewarding life. It's the best way a man can live, even if the gospel were not true. But friends, it takes a lot of effort to get to heaven. Some people today say, no, you're wrong, preacher. Jesus paid the debt. It's easy to go to heaven. All I have to do is believe in Him. How many people believe in Jesus today? A lot. Our Lord said, many will seek to enter in and shall not be able. James touched on a little bit about that, and we'll talk more about it perhaps here in a little while. I want you to notice, when this man or individual asked Jesus this question, he didn't ask, what must I do to be saved? He simply asked, are there few saved? Are there few that be saved? The Bible tells us plainly how to be saved. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10, 17. And that hearing of the Word of God will give me the faith that I need, that Jesus is the Christ, or else I won't be right in God's sight, Hebrews 11, 6. And the Bible tells me that if I don't repent, I'll perish, Luke 13, 5. And the Word tells me that I have to confess before witnesses my Lord, or He won't confess me before His Father, Matthew 10:32-33. And the Bible tells me that I have to be baptized for the remission of my sins, buried with Christ by baptism, and raised up to walk in newness of life. That's when I'm a Christian. The Bible tells me what to do to be saved, but that's not what He asked. He just wanted to know, are there few that be saved? And our Lord didn't hesitate. To sum it up, friends, in one word, if our Lord had chosen to do such, He could have simply said, yes. There are few that will be saved, friends. Open with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. As I say that to you this morning, I hope that you don't get in your mind, though, that it's impossible. I hope that you don't get in your mind that you can't do it. I hope that you don't get in your mind that there's no hope for you. There may be only few that make it, friends, but you don't have to be in the number of the many. I just taught us how to be saved without it from our past sins. But I want us to think about that few for just a moment. And I want us to pick up reading with me at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Some people don't understand this segment of Scripture. I'll try to explain it as we go through. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also He went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, please notice, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. I want you to think about that again. The time is the antediluvian time, or the pre-flood time. By the time Noah had built the ark, mankind had multiplied tremendously on this earth. We have millions, probably, at this point in time on the earth, perhaps. And the Bible tells us that Jesus, through Noah, I believe, preached to these people. Why do I say Noah? Because the Bible tells me that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. That's how I believe he preached to those spirits in prison. While Noah was alive, Noah was preaching God's word to them. He was trying to tell them that they needed to get right with God. The flood was coming. Judgment was coming. Now, I want you to think about how narrow-minded he was. I want you to think about how specific he was. If Noah were to preach to people today, Noah would be offensive to people today. People would be mad at Noah today. People would tell Noah he needs to get with the times and the culture today because Noah would have told them, there's only one way you can be saved. Get on the ark. Oh, Noah, you and your family think you are the only ones that are going to be saved. Look at verse 20 again. Which sometime were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a-preparing, wherein, here comes our word, few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. Millions, perhaps, on the earth, friends. Millions. How many were the few then? How specific was God about what He wanted? How serious was He bringing judgment upon the disobedient? Only eight souls. Eight souls. That's not even all my fingers on all my hands. Eight souls. I don't have to use my toes. Eight souls. That ought to impress upon us just how few there be that find it. Brethren, are there few that be saved? Yes. Are there going to be people who are seeking to be saved who won't get there? Yes. Are they going to be in for a shock? How do you think it must have felt when they started feeling the raindrops start coming? How do you think it felt when the water started rising from below? How do you think they felt when they wanted to bang on that ark door and they wanted to claw their way in and are begging for mercy? Please, please, please. And they had no more chances. Few. Brethren, when you have people make fun of you today for being narrow-minded, when you have people belittle you today by saying you think y'all are the only ones going to heaven, just remember what this man asked our Lord in Luke 13. But why? Why, friends, will there only be few saved? I gave earlier five simple things. Five simple things. I mean simple things. The hardest one of them all is changing our mind to be like God wants us to be. That's the hardest one of those five. Hear the word, believe in Jesus, repent. There's the hardest one, because we bend our mind to His mind. Confess His name, be baptized. That's all that we have to do to be saved from our past sins and be added to the Lord's kingdom. If you will, get into the ark of safety today, the church. Now, that doesn't mean, as we learned this morning, that we're guaranteed once we get in that we're going to be saved today. We have to stay continuing to keep His commandments. We studied that in 1 John 3. But why is it, friends, that few do that? The first reason is many just don't think they are lost. Have you ever encountered these type of folks? I saw a bumper sticker. I used to live up around Lewisburg. And there was a bumper sticker on a car up there. And it bothered me very much. It is something along this line. I was born right the first time. The idea you don't need to be born again. Born right the first time. The arrogancy of such a statement. Oh yes, we were brought into this world sinless. We were born right in that sense. But the Bible makes it clear that all of us have gone through the process of lusting, being enticed, giving in to it, bringing forth sin. To believe that we aren't lost is why some people will not be saved. And some people may say, Corey, you don't really think that there are that many folks out there who really think that way, do you? Not necessarily to the extreme I just gave, but there are a lot of folks out there who don't think they're lost, but they are. And you want to know why they don't think they're lost, but they are? Two big reasons. Number one, ignorance. And number two, false teachers. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. And let's remind ourselves of what Paul said would happen in the last days or the Christian age of time. He said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Why do that? Paul, why did you tell Timothy to preach that word? Why? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Many don't think they're lost today because people are telling them they're fine. And I said ignorance is part of the problem. It is. Some of them don't study their Bibles at home. Some of them don't study their Bibles on break at work. Some of them don't study their Bibles when they're doing leisurely activities. They just sit down somewhere. So when a so-called preacher tells them they're fine the way they are, they believe it. And there are multitudes upon multitudes upon multitudes of those individuals who are decent people. Kind-hearted people, loving people, friendly people who are not in the number of the few that are going to be saved, but they think they are. They're the ones that Jesus talked about who are seeking it but won't be able to find it. By the way, it's not because they can't find it. God has given us His Word. We are blessed tremendously in the time period in which we now live to have access to it as easily as we do. At one time, this book was not easy to get a hold of. The Roman Catholic Church, for a long time, kept men away from it. They didn't want people studying it. And you know why, don't you? Because when people started studying it, they found the errors that the Roman Catholic Church was doing, and it ruined their reputation. But friends, there's no reason for us to be ignorant. There's no reason for us to listen to these teachers who turn away people's ears from the truth and turn them to fables. There is no reason for us to be part of the many who are going to seek heaven but won't find it. But there are a lot there. But why else are there just few saved? And friends, the one I'm about to give you is not just a problem in the Lord's or out in the world, but this is a problem even amongst the Lord's people. There will be some in the Lord's kingdom, as well as in the Lord or the world rather, who are not going to be in the few that are saved because they are pleasure mad, fun crazy, entertainment wanters. What do I mean by that? How many people do we know who put extracurricular things such as sports and boating and fishing and hunting before the Lord? How many do it on Sunday morning when they're supposed to be in Bible study and worship? How many do it on Sunday evenings when they're supposed to be in worship? How many do it on Wednesday nights when elders tell us to assemble for Bible study? How many folks are going to be in the number of the few, friends? There are going to be a lot of folks who won't be in that number because of being pleasure mad. They want more things. They want more entertainment. They want more fun. How do we avoid that? Look at verse 5 if you're still in 2 Timothy 4. We know it was from the preaching of the Word. Here's what he told Timothy. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. We have to keep our eyes open. Watch all things. We have to be faithful and endure afflictions. We have to, even if it causes us to be unable to do certain things that other people do, even if it causes us not to be able to go to that ball game or not to go hunting that day or not to go to the lake that day, we have to be busy doing the work of an evangelist, evangelizing people, making full proofs of our ministry or service. Many people don't think they're lost. Many people are ignorant and being led astray by false teachers. Many people are pleasure mad, fun crazy. And many will be lost because they believe morality will save them. You know, at one time in this country, morals were thought of very highly. And it used to be that moral people were the norm in society. Friends, we're becoming more of a degenerative society day after day after day, where even the most simplistic morals are ridiculed, called archaic, old-fashioned. But even the ones who still live with good morals, and there are a lot of them still, don't get me wrong, there are many of them who believe that they can just be good people and that's good enough to get them saved. It's not, my friends. Do you remember a man by the name of Cornelius? Just listen to how this man's described. A devout man. One that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people, prayed to God always. You know what, though, when that's all being mentioned about him? He's lost. Think about that for a moment. There's a man, devout, feared God, apparently his whole house, too, his family had been taught, gave much alms, he was giving. He even prayed to God. But at that point in time, in Acts chapter 10, verse 2, that good moral man was lost. How do I know that? Because he was encountered by an apostle by the name of Peter. And Peter went to preach the gospel to him. And the Bible makes it abundantly clear that when Peter started preaching, the Holy Spirit descended upon the people there in that home. And Bible Peter said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word I say ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. And he keeps on going down. He says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Him God raised up the third day. This is verse 40. And that people were to have the preaching of the gospel to them, verse 42. Verse 44 tells us, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all them which heard the word. And what happened then? Peter said, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Spirit as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. You see, that good moral man who was devout, feared God, gave to the needy, and prayed to God, morality wouldn't save him. He had to obey the gospel. He had to hear the preaching of the word. He had to render obedience. Thankfully for Cornelius, he did. But some folks won't. Why will there only be few that are saved? Many don't think they're lost. Many are ignorant and being led by the blind guides leading the blind, false teachers. Many are pleasure mad today and want entertainment more than they do godliness. Many believe that good morals alone are enough. But here may be, for especially the ones of us who are assembled here today, here may be the one big reason for this group of people, not only here at Fairview, but where the church meets around the world, here may be the one reason why some of us won't be saved. Luke 9:62. I'll let it answer it for ourselves. Why will only few be saved, even amongst the Lord's people? And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. The reason why there will be few saved, friends, even amongst the Lord's people, is because they turn back. The great example of turning back, obviously, was Lot's wife. Jesus said that, remember Lot's wife. Remember, he said those words. Why? She turned back. She was given one simple thing to do. One thing. Get out of the city. And if you want to say two things, okay, I'll give you that, maybe another one. Don't look back when you leave. That's it. You want saved, you want salvation, you go forward, you don't go back. Forward, not back. Forward, not back. What did she do? She turned back. But Corey, God's merciful. God's loving. God's kind. God's patient. God's gracious. How many sins did she commit? One sin. Why will there be few that are saved? Because too many turn back. You know what Peter said about that in 2 Peter chapter 2. I hope we do. He talks about some very graphic descriptions there in those segments of scriptures of 2 Peter 2, 20 through 22. He talks about a sow that was washed, returning to her wallowing in the mire. He talks about a dog who has turned to his own vomit again. And those people that are typified as those individuals are the ones who escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They obeyed the gospel. They became Christians. They are members of the Church of Christ. They are saved individuals at one point. But they again become entangled therein. And overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. Why? Because they turned back. Brethren, we cannot get to heaven and go back. Forward. 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 Now, I want us to think about what we've learned this morning and ask ourselves this question. Am I part of the few that be saved? You can know if you are or not. You don't have to guess at it. You don't have to depend on somebody to make you feel good about it. You just simply have to know what God's Word says. Hereby we do know that we know Him. How? If we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous. What did we learn this morning? We talked about it a few moments ago in 1 John 3. How do I know if I'm right with God? And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. Part of verse 24 of chapter 3. You can know whether or not you're part of the few. But I want to reiterate what we started with earlier. There were only 8 at one time who were in that number. Out of all of humanity on the earth at that time. Brethren, please, seriously, think about your soul. And if you're not a Christian, do what's already been taught and become one today. And do what you can for the rest of your days on this earth to serve your God. Be faithful to Him and make sure that you, if you get tangled up, if you start turning back, that you repent. And if you need to confess fault and you need to pray for forgiveness, do it. Don't be one who seeks the kingdom but won't make it. Be part of the few that are heaven bound. If you need to come, do so now as we stand.